how he came down with malaria and almost died. In fact, he was so sick up in the Perea Hospital in the Galilee that his son came all the way from the States basically to say goodbye to him. So, again, we want to thank all of you for praying for our grandson who contracted malaria. But that's not a great introduction to you, Ron, but you've been here before, so you're one of the family.
I'm proud to be a part of this family. This is our fourth or fifth time to be here, and we notice your enthusiasm and your genuine interest in listening to the Word of God and studying the Word of God. We love the Word of God, and this congregation has, with us at least, the reputation of enjoying, appreciating, valuing, pursuing, tenaciously pursuing, digging, mining for every truth that they can find in the verses of the Word of God. I invite you to turn with me to Matthew 14. I will also make the observation that there is a wide variety of people here from a wide variety of places, North and South America, Europe, Middle East, Asia. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist to observe that there's a large variety of ages here. So with all of this variety, I see that the Lord has correctly led me to share something with you, some things with you. Everybody will find something. We're going to talk about a number of different things, but they all tie together in one word that we find in Matthew 14, verse 28. Jesus has come walking on the water to the disciples in the boat, and Peter has an idea. He expresses his idea and says, "Lord, if it is you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said, referring to Jesus. So Peter asked if he could walk on the water, and Jesus said, "Come." I have reflected on this one word and will share some of my observations about what that word might mean to us if Jesus says to us, "Come." The first one is that it is a response. Yeshua responds to us. The fact that Yeshua even spoke shows us that he responded to Peter, just like he responds to any of us who address him. We do not know if Peter pondered his proposal by thinking carefully about all of the implications of what it would be to walk to Jesus on the water, or whether more likely he spontaneously or even thoughtlessly just said quickly what came to his mind. In either case, Yeshua responded to Peter. God responds. That is a simple and beautiful truth. He is listening, attentive, caring, and aware. He hears us. If Yeshua were not listening and responding to humans, in this case to Peter, calling to him from the boat, there would be no "come" from him ever, or for anyone ever. But he does respond. We can contrast that with the prophets of Baal and Ashtaroth. In sharp contrast to Peter's situation, they leaped and slashed and shouted, but no one said anything or responded. "Baal, answer us," they shouted, but there was no response. No one answered. 1 Kings 18:26. And then later, three verses later in verse 39, "But there was no response. No one answered. No one paid attention." Baal did not respond because Baal could not respond. Sometimes people will not respond to us, but God will always respond to us. Peter shouted across the water to Yeshua, who promptly responded. You may expect a response, anticipating a response means that we're going to be listening for a response. We're going to be watching for his response. Whether the counsel comes to us in the counsel of a friend or in the word of God that we're reading or in a dream or a vision or a sermon, we can expect God to respond to us and communicate with us. I suppose the important question for us to ask ourselves then would be, are we listening? Equally important, will we accept his response when he responds? Whether it is come or stay, whatever he says, these are important issues for us to consider. Will we listen and will we obey? Secondly, the word come may indicate approval for Peter and for you and me. Yeshua is happy when we accomplish something for him. He wants us to succeed. He wants us to be fruitful. Yeshua wants you to be fruitful. He wants you to do something for him. I don't know what Yeshua wants you to do. Perhaps you do not know what Yeshua wants you to do. But assume Yeshua wants you to do something. And that if you will propose it or ask him, he will respond and he will give approval if it's a good idea. Find that something and do it for him. We may, can, and should confidently approach him seeking his approval, not only to fulfill our own desire for accomplishment, but also to fulfill his desire for us to accomplish something for him. Number three, when Jesus said, come to Peter, he may be indicating agreement. Yeshua agrees with good things. If you have a good thought, expect that Yeshua will agree with it. On the contrary, if your idea is not good, give him a chance to veto it. Don't assume that your idea is good. Listen for his approval. Listen for him to say, come, when you lay your proposal at his feet. Fourthly, when Jesus said to Peter, come, and when he says to you and me today, come, Yeshua may be giving us an affirmation, personally affirming us, recognizing our value to him, our value to the kingdom of God, our value as a tool in his hand that through whom he can do something for his glory. When Yeshua approves of your idea and agrees with you, that is also an affirmation to you. The devil wants you to think you're not worth anything. God wants you to realize you are worth much. And he approves of your ideas, not all of them, but many of them. All of them if they're good. And he wants to work with you. He's looking for partners who will submit their visions, submit their ideas to him, wait for his affirmation, and then act on it. The more often our ideas are right, the more often he will approve of them and affirm us. So we need to remain humble and submissive so that he always has the right to say no, but we are looking for his yes. Amen? Number five, when Jesus said to Peter, come, it may have meant that Jesus was giving him permission to do something that Peter wanted to do. Maybe you desire permission from the Lord to do something that you would like to do. If so, then this fifth idea may be of benefit to you. Yeshua responds thoughtfully with a yes or no, and this time to Peter he responded positively. He agreed with Peter. He instructed Peter to do what Peter wanted to do. If it had not been good for Peter, I assume he would have not have said, come. The mother of James and John approached Jesus and said, let my two sons sit at your left hand and at your right hand. And Jesus essentially said, no. So he has the right to say no, which means that when he says yes, it's a meaningful yes. Yes. (Clears throat) When Yeshua responds to us, it is an encouragement. But when he responds positively, it is a more sure encouragement. Consider this. Yeshua says no enough times to all of us that when he says come, we can know it is not a thoughtless, careless, meaningless, or automatic answer just to stop us from bothering him. In fact, when we call out to him and submit our ideas to him, we are not bothering him. We are pleasing him. We are interacting with him. We are acknowledging him. We are, in a sense, submitting to him every time we talk to him. We're not just going our own way, doing our own thing as though he didn't exist or has no concern for what we do or don't do. When we interact with him, we are submitting our ideas to him. We want to hear from him. So we do not bother him. He has an opinion, a will, an intention, and is willing to communicate it to us. In fact, he is more eager to communicate to us what he wants us to do than we are to receive it. So anytime we submit an idea to him, he eagerly, happily says, "Oh, I'm glad that you asked. I do have an opinion about that idea. I'm glad you asked me. Yes or no." In either case, it will be good for us, protecting us from what's not good for us or encouraging us to pursue what is good for us. The sixth possible lesson that I find in Jesus' answer to Peter, simply saying come, is encouragement. Yeshua gave Peter more than just permission. He did say, "You may," but think of a little child learning to walk as his or her parents encourage them to take yet more steps, saying, "Come, come on, you can do it. Come on, come to daddy, come to mama. Oh, big girl, you're learning to walk. Big boy, you're taking more steps." Yeshua, in saying come to Peter, may have been like that, the master encouraging the student and saying, "You can do this, come on. Come on, Peter, exercise your faith, be adventurous, get out of the boat of doing things the normal, usual way, and walk on the water." Maybe it was encouragement, and maybe that's what Jesus will be saying or giving to you when he says, "Come," when you ask your question. Number seven, action. When Yeshua says, "Come," he's inviting you to action. You must make a move. He says to us, "Come." He didn't come to Peter when Peter said, "Lord, if that's you, tell me to come to you walking on the water." He didn't go over to the boat and take Peter's hand and lift him out of the boat and show him how to take steps across the wave. No, he expected Peter to follow through with his intention. He expected Peter to move. He expected Peter to take the action. And that's the same way he works with us. I find a lot of symbolism in this brief conversation between Peter, who says, "Lord, if that's you, tell me to come to you walking on the water," and Jesus, who said, "Come." Very short conversation, but a lot of meaning there. Jesus wanted Peter to take action, and he did. An eighth possible meaning, or additional meaning, that we can find in this word come is that it's a challenge to us. Where we are and what we are doing may be familiar and comfortable to us, just like the boat is the normal way to travel across the water. Peter was comfortable in the boat with his friends who were also in the boat. But Yeshua may be inviting you to a new experience. He may be inviting you to a new adventure. He can comfort us, and he also can challenge us. Both are necessary, and each in the appropriate occasion will be given to us. He will say, "Come," to comfort, or he will say, "Come," to adventure. And in both cases, we will be benefited by accepting his invitation and coming to him. Number nine, I see in this word come the invitation to adventure. God is creative. God was creative, and he is still creative. In fact, he has made us in his image We are creative. We have ideas. And he expects us to interact with him using our creative ideas as we submit them to the Lord. He not only makes a new creation of us, but continuously improves us by leading us through ever new learning experiences. So we are a creation, we've been made a new creation, and we're being ever made new by the new experiences that the Lord invites us to when he says, come. But if we don't go when he says, come, or if we don't ask him, may I come, may I do this, may I do that, if we don't keep the interaction alive and afresh and every day seek what we may do for him, we stop growing. The adventure stops, and we could even become bored with our relationship with the Lord. So I see here an invitation to adventure. Some of you will particularly like that. He gives us adventure. The tenth lesson or possible meaning that we could find in this word come is an invitation to come from something. This word reminds us that we come to him. We are necessarily coming out of or away from something old and going into something new. By this, Yeshua was saying, if you remain where you are, you will be in the wrong place. It was okay for you to be in that place up until now, but now that you've asked me if you can come, and I'm saying to you, yes, you may come. In fact, I want you to come. You have permission to come. You have enablement to come. Now, if you stay there and don't come, you will, even though you're in the same place where you were, you will no longer be in my will because I want you to come. Are you following me? He expects us to move from what we have been in. It was right for a time, but now he's inviting us to something new. Where are you, my friend? What are you doing now? You are not in a vacuum. You are not nowhere. Rather, you are somewhere. You have a situation, a circumstance. You have relationships. You have an environment. Something is happening in your life. There is a set of conditions, an atmosphere, a physical, emotional, social, career-related, or family-related surroundings. Is God saying, come from that, or come from a part of that? Come from whatever it is that is not honoring him into something that will honor him more. What kind of change is God inviting you to do when he says to you, come? Would a change of location be to you a deliverance from boredom and unfruitfulness to adventure, challenge, and fruitfulness? Or could a change of location for you represent a transition from sorrow, pain, sickness, loneliness, confusion, to comfort, rest, health, companionship, meaning, and order? If you are not already where you are, if you were not already doing what you are doing, would you start doing what you're doing? If you weren't already where you are now, would you go where you are now? That's kind of question that will cause us to rethink where we are. Do I think that this is a valuable enough place to be? Do I think that this is a valuable enough thing to do that if I weren't here, I would start doing this and I would come here? If you can't say, yes, I would come here and yes, I would start doing what I'm doing, maybe we need to rethink, are we really where we're supposed to be? Think about that and allow the Holy Spirit to show you. I have no idea whether you are where you're supposed to be or whether Jesus is saying to you, come, come on, you've been there long enough, grow up, you've been in this environment, you've been doing that kind of thing enough, I have something new for you, come. The Holy Spirit will show you how to apply this sermon that has more possible applications than most sermons do. And I'm on 10, okay? I'm not going to tell you how many we have yet to go. You would get up and leave right now if you knew how much we have yet to go. That's why I'm galloping. If you were not already where you are, would you move to where you are? has normalcy bias, has the inclination to think that what you're doing is what you're always going to do, and where you are is where you're always going to be, confused you and cut you off from possibilities of new opportunities and new challenges and new adventures, new growth, new fruitfulness for the Lord. If so, then we need to listen for the Lord to say, come to us. Do you want to be proactive and change locations? God is giving you a chance to come from whatever you are involved in. And number 11, He's inviting you to something. We could also use the word toward instead of to. Something new. Obeying Yeshua when He says come represents more than just a change in location. It means we change from something to something else. Here are several possibilities. From old habits to new patterns. From disobedience to obedience. From boredom to adventure. From resistance to being yielded. From sin to righteousness. From darkness to light. From self-centeredness to God-centeredness. From one career to another career. Or from one kind of character to another kind of character. Contrasting what you are considering leaving with whatever you would be moving to when you responded to the come of Yeshua may help you to realize the advantages of change which Yeshua is offering to you. Number 12. With. If we make a move and we come toward Jesus, we will be with Jesus. Upon arrival, you'll be with Him. Yeshua was not with His disciples in the boat. He was somewhere out on the waves, blown by the wind, alone and away from the disciples. Yeshua was somewhere else. Yeshua was on the stormy water, busy demonstrating His power over nature. He was traveling to the disciples who needed Him, but He was not yet with them. In the larger picture of the drama on the Sea of Galilee that night, He was on His way to Bethsaida from where He had fed the 5,000 men plus women and children the day before, and His next activities in Bethsaida, whatever they were. When Yeshua said, come to Peter, could that instruction have included the idea that Yeshua welcomed Peter to be nearer to Himself? Wherever Yeshua is where I want to be. I would rather be with Yeshua on the stormy, wavy water than safe in the boat and away from Him. So the come is an invitation to be with Him. Do we want to be safe in the boat or do we want to be obedient on the water? I'd rather be obedient. In a sense, that's safer. Though in the natural, it's not safer. Safety is not as important to me as obedience. I guess that's why we go to Africa so much. Obedience is the criteria by which we make decisions. If Jesus says come, we come. If He says stay, we stay. I want to be, you want to be with Him. So obedience may take us into perceived or even actual danger, but still obedience is superior to safety because we are with Him. That's the 12th idea that I find possible to try to understand what Jesus may have meant when He says, come to Peter or to you and me. Number 13, I see an invitation in the word come to progress, advancement, improvement. Was Yeshua offering Peter progress in saying, come to you? Is Yeshua offering you an opportunity to take a step of advancement, a step of growth? Yeshua never invites us to regress, always to progress. Neither does He want us to become stagnant. He wants improvement, progress, growth, and development. Living organisms change. If we're alive, if we're growing, if we're listening when the Lord says, come, we will continue to change and continue to grow. There will be progress and advancement in our lives. Are you alive? God is able to take all of the collective experiences of your past and bring them together in such a way that He uses them, and your best years could be yet before you. In leadership training, it's called convergence theory, that He takes this experience and that experience and the other experiences through which He has brought you in His plan for your life, and they converge together, and from that point on, wherever you are in life, from then on, you become a more useful tool, more fruitful, more productive in the hands of God. That's why we want to keep moving and keep coming when Jesus says, come. If you don't come when He says come, you will not grow. At least you will not grow as much as you could grow. Don't be afraid of change. Don't be afraid of change. Change is a part of growth and development and maturity and improvement and progress. All right, number 14. I see an invitation to move forward in this word come. The Bible is not oriented towards a believer's past, but toward our future. Remember Lot's wife. She looked back, and it wasn't just a casual glance backward. With longing, according to my understanding of the grammar used in the Greek, in the Hebrew, that she was longing for the past of what she had come from. She looked back. Faith in Yeshua leads us to be forward-looking. The devil wants to remind you of your past and how horrible a failure you have been. And God wants to remind you of your potential and the possibilities of what He could do through your life when you learn to go where He says go, when He says come. God wants to talk to us about our future. Paul wrote, "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Yeshua HaMashiach." God is calling us forward. And if we come when he says come and where He says come, we will make progress. When Yeshua says come, He may be inviting us to move forward and stop looking backwards. Faith is more fun than regret. The future will be better than the past if Jesus is saying, come. We all have faults and failures and things in our past that we wish hadn't been there, that weren't there. We all have things that we regret, things that we're sorry about, things that we repented of, and the accuser brings them to our attention from time to time. And I believe that it's God's plan to help us just move forward. And Jesus today is saying to you, come. You don't have to look back. You don't have to worry about those sins. They're under the blood. They are washed away as far as the east is from the west. Don't be hung up on your past. Come on, I have a good future for you. Trust me. Come with me. Number 15, I find in this word come a promise of enablement. Would Jesus ask Peter to do something that Peter could not do, or that Jesus would not make him able to do? In these words was, I believe, Yeshua communicating the notion that God would make Peter able. Was the enabling power of God promised or implied in the command? I think so. We can argue from the results, since we know already that eventually Peter did walk on the water. Peter did do what Jesus said. Peter was enabled to do what He proposed. Peter was enabled to walk on the water, and arguing then from the result back to the trying to understand what was implied in the word come, I believe we can argue that Jesus made him able, and that's why He said come. People do not usually walk on the water. This is an extraordinary walk that was only possible because the power of God worked contrary to nature. Something that was heavier than water is supposed to sink in the water, but it did not. It stayed on the top of the surface of the water. Is there a lesson here? Yes. Is Yeshua illustrating that at any time Jesus tells us to do something or God tells us to do something, along with that command, He enables us to do it? Yes, I believe so. He does not ask us to do what we cannot do. He does not ask us to do things that He will not enable us to do. Asking us to do something could therefore mean that God will make us able to do it. We can if we will. Number 16, I find in Jesus saying, come to Peter, a process. We've talked about progress. We've talked about a lot of ideas. But I see a process here. In other words, yes, Peter, come. But this is not the only time I'm going to say come. I'll be somewhere else. I'll be leading you to go somewhere else at another time in the future. But this instance on the Sea of Galilee, this particular night, is the instance we're looking at. And so this is the part in the process of continuing events that happened in Peter's life that we are examining right now. A walk with Yeshua is not static. Jesus said to him, come and I'll make you fishers of men. Now he's saying, come and walk on the water. We must keep up to date with him. Come again and again. If we could learn to come toward or to Yeshua, coming could and should be habit forming. Where are you going? I don't know, but I'm following Jesus. What are you going to do? I don't know, but I'm going to do what Jesus is doing because he's inviting me to travel with him. And I've decided to follow him. I've decided to be with him. I've decided to go anywhere he says to go. And anytime he says to come, I've decided to come. I'm in a process. Don't ask me where I'll be 5 years from now. Right now, I'm in the will of God. I'm doing what the Lord wants me to do. Join me. Follow the Lord. You'll like it. I think that that could be all wrapped up in this idea of process. We're in a process of walking with the Lord. We begin to live in a process of continual growth, expansion, improvement, which leads us to complete self-realization. No one is so complete as the person who is following Yeshua HaMashiach. Number 17, I see in this word a possible command that Yeshua is so interested in Peter growing and developing and becoming a part of this process and continuing in what he started that he commands him. Does God feel so strongly about our development, adventure, fruitfulness, and progress that he commands us to do it? Maybe. It is possible that even before Peter thought of walking on the water, God wanted him to walk on the water. God put the idea in Peter's mind to walk on the water. Spontaneously, he blurted it out, Lord, if that is you, tell me to come to you walking on the water. And Jesus immediately said, yes, come. So in doing all of that, he was merely doing what the Lord wanted him to do. Is God telling you to come? If so, where is he telling you to come? And will you come? These are questions for us to consider if we want to obey the command of the Lord. Number 18, I find a possible meaning in move or change. By this did Yeshua mean to communicate move and change. God leaves it up to us to take action. You must take the action. Come is the invitation, but even if he says come, unless you move, the come has no result. Come is an opportunity, but the movement depends on you. What will you do if the Lord says come to you? Will you take the active role or will you remain passive? By saying come, did Yeshua intend to communicate that Peter needed to make a change? Do we have the right to assume that we will always be where we are and we will always be doing what we're doing? I don't think so. If we want to grow, if we want to develop, if we want adventure, if we want to remain in the will of God, if we want to remain under the glory cloud, when the glory cloud moves, we must move with it. And when Jesus moves, we must move with him. We must be always ready to change and to move when he says come. Where will you be in 10 years if you don't change? Where will you be in 10 years if you do change? Are you moving with? Are you changing with the times and the circumstances that God has allowed to come your way? If you respond when Yeshua says come, then change for you is inevitable and you will like the adventure. Number 19, the human will. You are the one to decide. Come presents you with an alternative to your present situation. Yeshua's message to you is come. It may demonstrate a positive response, permission, enablement, his desire for you, an invitation to be close to Yeshua, movement, a change in location, a change in the circumstances, in a new location. But none of this matters if you do not exercise your will and obey. You'll just remain where you always were. So when Jesus says, come, 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 will you regret it if you remain? Or is it a false idea, and you will regret it if you move? Number 20, I see in this word come a choice of this result as opposed to that result. Where will you be in 10 years if you come to Jesus' invitation? Is that a better alternative than for you to be where you are if you remain where you are? First, select the results that you want, and then select the course of action that leads to those results. Do you want to be more fruitful, more useful? Do you want to be a sharper tool? Do you want to be more influential? Do you want to be more effective in the work that you're doing for the Lord? Do you want to be more useful in the Master's hand? If so, we have to be willing to change and grow and move when he says come. Number 21, where? My answer would be wherever Yeshua is. Kind of a simple answer, I admit. Where is Yeshua and what is he doing? Wherever that is, that's where I want to come to him. Because he is everywhere and doing lots of things. The where for each one of us will be different. Where he leads you and where he takes you will be different than where he leads me and takes me. So we ought to all encourage each other. Go where he says to go. Come when he says come. Let's grow and keep moving for him. Number 22. I see in here this word come a hint of authority and ownership. Jesus would not command. Jesus would not even relate to us or to Peter if he did not have authority or ownership. I was returning back toward our house on a street of Tiberias one morning when a man walking his dog came in my direction. And as they passed and went the other way, I heard behind me the man saying to his dog, Bo, come. And I thought, well, that's interesting. This man does not go down the street saying Bo to every dog. He said it to this dog because this dog was his dog. And when Yeshua says to you, come, that's because you belong to him. There's authority there. There's a relationship there. There's ownership there. He relates to you. When he speaks to you, don't assume that that same opportunity is given to everybody because everybody does not belong to him. But you do. I see a couple contrasts that I'd like to mention. Number 23, there's a contrast with this invitation to another invitation. And this other invitation is the invitation that is given to everybody. Come, he said to Peter, to adventure. But Yeshua also says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's a very general invitation to everybody who has burdens, who has problems, who has difficulties, anxieties, come to Jesus and he will give them rest. I find this come rather quite a contrast to that. Peter is safe in the boat. He is comfortable. He's already come to the Savior and he has been given rest. And now Jesus is calling him out of the boat. Come on, Peter. Come away from that comfortable place, that comfortable association with all of those friends of yours that are in the boat. Come out here where it takes faith and courage and boldness and determination and stick-to-itiveness, faithfulness. Come out here and follow me. So Jesus may not be inviting you to comfort every time he invites you to come. I believe that he's more interested in our productivity, in our growth, in our maturity, in our usefulness than he is in our comfort. Otherwise, every time his will becomes uncomfortable for us, it would be a proof that he is not really in full control. He has lost his ability to keep us comfortable. I don't think comfort is really all that important. I think obedience, usefulness, productivity, fruitfulness are far and beyond more important than comfort. And yet comfort is a value that some people hold dear. Number 24. Guess what? This is the last one. If I had told you at the beginning I have 24 things to talk about, you would have... Maybe you would have politely endured. But anyway, here's the 24th one. This is the last one. And this is another contrast. In this contrast, I see the final come. When Yeshua, who went up into the clouds not far from here, will come again. And he says, come and spend eternity with me. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of the Lord. You've gone enough places. You've done enough things. You've endured enough tests. You've learned enough lessons. You've obeyed me again and again. You have come when I said come. And now, here's my final come. Come home. Be with me forever and ever. Enter into the joys of the Lord. Shar, come and lead us in prayer that the Lord will help us to come. Whatever it means to you, whatever your circumstance, whatever God is calling you from, whatever he's calling you to, pray that we'll respond.
Okay. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that it is like a mine that we can dig deep. And when we do, when we take the time, when we make the effort, we find so much there of your great heart for us. And we ask today that you will help us as we have heard these words and been encouraged in our spirits to realize that you are so very interested in each one of us. May we respond, not reluctantly, but with full hearts, hearts full of joy, hearts full of eagerness to do what you want. Because we know, those of us who have lived a long time know that when we do respond with joy and when we do respond to your invitation, come, there is more to it than we could ever imagine. Make us willing, we pray, and make us able. Lord, we will respond to you this morning, and we will hear you say, come, in whatever circumstances. May Jesus Christ be praised. And it's in his precious name we pray these things. Amen.
How many will look at come in a different light? I think I'll always remember this message. It has so many nuances and so many shades of meaning. We're going to sing in closing. And we're thankful for the message. And I don't know about you, but I want to come when he calls. And to respond when he beckons. Let's all stand.